Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's saying last Sunday when I met with Faye and Steve after the service. And it's kind of like, I've not preached for 2 weeks. I'm chomping at the bit here. For someone that kind of likes to talk, to not be behind the lectern for 2 Sundays running was kind of like killing me. So I'm glad to be behind here again. Needless to say that Sam's just got it all at home, so... It's like, you need to learn to shut up. No, she would never say that. She's a wife that honours her husband, so she would say that. So yeah, so we're still continuing on our series, Full Speed Ahead, looking at the principle of momentum in our life, looking at how important momentum is for us in our journey with God, in our faith with God, and in our life in general, and how we can find see ourselves in a situation when we don't have momentum or we're losing momentum and everything's kind of going wrong, everything's a drag, everything's a push. But then we find ourselves at those times where we're just flying and we're like that locomotive train smashing through things, even things that try and stop us, to slow us down, we just smash straight through them and nothing can stop us because we're so pushing forward. And we have been looking at the first 4 kings of Israel, King Saul, King David, King Solomon and King Rehoboam, and seeing how momentum worked either for or against these particular people. And we started by looking at King Saul and how King Saul lacked momentum in his life, in his reign and in his faith, simply down to his nature, his weak character, his complete inability to listen to God and do what God said. And we kind of looked through the story of Saul, and we saw these different times where God would be really clear and say, just do this, and he wouldn't do it. And he kind of, as a result, he just lacked, and he couldn't get any momentum going in his reign. And eventually, God took the kingdom from him and gave the kingdom to David. And we all love David. And I don't know about anybody else, but David is just such an inspiration to me. King David, you know, we kind of think of him as a little boy who slayed Goliath. But when you kind of move on out of the stories that we like to tell our children, and we get into David the man, David's heart of worship, which we heard about last week, and how Faye was telling us how one of the main keys to David's momentum in his life, in his faith in God, in his reign as king, was his ability to have a heart that was just wanted to worship God all the time. Yeah. And even in his shortfallings, in his mistakes, we could kind of say he was quick to repent. It kind of made a bit of a mess, didn't it, with the whole Bathsheba thing. It wasn't like, okay, I've committed adultery, I better put it right. It kind of went on this destruction trail. But as soon as he was confronted by the prophet Nathan, he was quick to say, I've sinned before God. And there was a repentance there, and we've learned about repentance a bit as well, and the importance of repentance in our momentum, that keeping a short lead with God to say, God, I've done this wrong. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I want to move forward. I've got to stop. I've got to turn away. I want to see momentum build in my life. So, and the key between those two things, that David's heart for God, David's heart for worship, brought him to a place of repentance in a way that caused that momentum to keep building. And David was an amazing king who established an amazing kingdom, and in under difficult situations, because he had the hard job of, he was ruling, but he had all the battles to fight as well. He was kind of like, he was a king during the war. He was the king that was having to like do all this battle. And because of his faithfulness to God, because of his heart of worship, he then set up this amazing platform for the next king, which we're going to look at today, which is Solomon. And Solomon was David's son. He was the son who was actually born through his relationship with Bathsheba. But either way, he took on the kingship from his father David. And David had set this amazing platform for his son. David had laid this amazing way forward, and he'd given him this gift of this amazing kingdom with momentum already starting. Momentum had built in his life. Momentum had started in the kingdom. Momentum was running through the lifeblood of those people at that time because of the heart that David had to worship. And as we go through this, I'm going to kind of split it into two parts, because even like, it's amazing how God works when you start to look at these things. Because I kind of preached 3 weeks ago to introduce the series and looking at these different kings, but even in that 3 weeks, God's really spoken to me about the journey of those people, and in some ways what I kind of felt about those people 3 weeks ago has changed till now. But that's the journey of God, and that's the process of God, and that's how when we start to look at stuff and we peel back, because we kind of We like to look at the superficial level sometimes of these things. Saul messed it up, he lacked momentum. David did a great job and he managed to build momentum. Solomon took his dad's kingdom and increased that momentum, and then Rehoboam got the kingdom and messed it up. But there's more to it than that. That's looking at it on a very superficial level and on a way that says, well, this is just what we kind of want to look at, and that's just scratching the surface. So to look at Solomon, I'm going to have to split this into two parts. So there's going to be today's, which is Solomon, and all about the good things. Solomon's wisdom, Solomon's good decisions, Solomon's good things, and how he increased the momentum. But then next week, it's going to be looking at the downfall of Solomon, and how that's intrinsically linked with the downfall of his son, Rehoboam, because their two are intrinsically linked in such a way, it's, I can't separate them, is where I've come to. So today, we get the positive side. Next week's a little more kind of, oh, yeah, somebody's messed it up again. But you're going to be encouraged today, and we'll be encouraged next week. I'm not going to bring a message just saying that, well, it all went wrong, so you know, there's no hope. The end is now. You know, I'm not, it's the kind of, you know, God is, we're going to look at how we restore and rebuild these things in our lives that are maybe not right. But starting, I'm going to pick up from the end of King David. So we're going to be in 1 Kings and chapter 2. And this is David, it's titled in my Bible, David's Final Instructions to Solomon. And I love that. I can kind of imagine him sat there like, son, putting his arm around him, come on, come with me. Father and son, boy's own, playing in the background while he's talking. And like Ronan singing in the background on the harp. And, and David starts to speak, son. Didn't happen like that. That's like, yeah, that's some like weird kind of Tim Burton version of the Bible. Okay, here we go. At the time of King David's, as the time of King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. I am going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. I love that. Take courage, be a man. I kind of like it when people say to me, you know, be a man. You know, man up. Be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow in all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go. If you do this, then the Lord will keep the promise he made to me. He told me, if your descendants live as they should and follow me faithfully with all their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel. That's good advice. That's good advice from a father to his son. Knowing it's time for him to go. It's time for him to actually go and be with God. It's time for him to take that heart of worship and worship for eternity with his God. But it gives this amazing speech. You can kind of imagine if it was a film, it'd be that kind of point, wouldn't it? Where it's the guy like, this is the main point. This is the bit where, you know, it gives him this inspirational speech. Do this. And then, and there's a few little bits there about a couple of instructions, but I'm not going to look at those today. But he gave him these instructions and he gave him this great platform, and it was this gift from David to Solomon to say, son, here is the kingdom that I've built, here's the king that I've been working on. Because of the momentum I've built, this is where we've got to. Now I'm giving this to you. Here's some good instructions as to how to continue in doing that. And there's something key in that, because David gave Solomon his instructions, and it was a theology that he gave him the instructions on. He didn't tell Solomon how to run his kingdom. He didn't tell Solomon how he should go about doing these things. He gave him the word of God.
Yes.
He gave him the theology. He didn't give him, you know, there's a toss-up between theology and methodology. Theology being what God's spoken, what God says, this is the truth, this doesn't change. Methodology being the way you go about it. So I'm guessing that Solomon kind of went about running his kingdom a little different to his dad. I kind of was thinking the other day how I've got a job as a father to pass on theology to Elijah. What I believe, what the Word of God says, I've got a job to pass on to him as his father This is what the Word of God says. This is the theology of our faith. This is what brings our faith alive. But I don't really have a place to tell him how he goes about doing that. And because in some ways, a time's going to come where I can't. Because I'm just not going to be able to access it. I've got a 2-year-old boy who can be left on the sofa with an iPad and flick it, unlock it, find it. Joshua sat with him the other day doing this. Unlock it, get on, find his box with his apps in it, go on his game, play the whole game, complete the game, come out of the game and go on another one. Yeah. And I'm like thinking, the guy's 2 years old. Like, when I was 2 years old, touch screens were like a thing, it was literally like Back to the Future style kind of futuristic stuff. But I'm thinking, man, when he's my age, how's the church going to look? You know, how is it going to look? Praise God, the theology is going to be the same and what's in this is going to be the same, but how it's done is going to look so different. And what I love about David's heart here is he's giving his son something of his theology. This is what I've learned. This is how I've... Some people's brains are still ticking like, yeah, what is the church going to look like in 30 years' time? It is going to look awesome. You know, if the McDonald's at Foss Park's anything to go on, like placing your... placing your order on a iPad, it's kind of like people will be turning up with like just an iPad on a robotic thing, like a cyborg kind of thing. I'm going too sci-fi now, I'm going to reel it in. And that's what I love about the fact that that's what David did. He gave him this platform and he built up this kingdom with his own theology and his own methodology, but what he passed on to his son was, this is the theology, this is the heart of God, this is the heart of God that I've grown to have as a king, this is the heart of God I've grown to have, and here you go, now go and do those things that you want. And there's a key phrase just a bit later on as well, where he makes a statement to his son in verse... I can't find it, it's there. And he says to him, you're a wise man. Yeah. And David declares that over his son. He says, Solomon, you're a wise man. And I love that. Because already declaring it over his son, he can recognise, Solomon, you're wise. You'll find a way to deal with this. You're a wise man. And I like that. And so David set him up. So that kind of leads us into Solomon now. We've crossed over from the Davidic rule to the Solomon time. And there's lots of things that Solomon achieved. And I kind of... instead of reading through every single one, I just printed an accumulated version off the internet. So, Solomon, these are Solomon's accomplishments. During his reign, Solomon kind of like, he was the man. He kind of like accomplished a lot of stuff. So, he built the first temple in Jerusalem. It was one of, which was one of the ancient wonders of the world. He also built a majestic palace, gardens, roads, and government buildings. He accumulated thousands of horses and chariots. After securing peace with his neighbours, he built up trade and became the wealthiest king of his time. He is credited with writing much of the books of the Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Book of Ecclesiastes, and two of the Psalms. So he was a busy guy. So he achieved a lot. But there was something about not just taking the momentum that David had built, but then harnessing that momentum and causing it to build for himself and using that as a gift. And there's a few things that Solomon did which were right. What Solomon did, which was just amazing, and set him up to not only build momentum, but increase the momentum that he'd inherited from his father. And the first one is a very, very famous story regarding Solomon. And it's in 1 Kings 3. And we're going to go from verse 3. Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the local places of worship. The most important of these places was at Gibeon. So the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Solomon replied, "You showed faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued your faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and not just asked for long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one has had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. I'm going to bust into song then. Fame! No other king in... It's quite musical this morning, you can tell. I've been having to watch Frozen a lot recently, so... No other king in the whole of the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you will follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you long life. Then Solomon woke up and realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant. There he sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. Then he invited all his officials to a great banquet. Okay, so when it says and he woke up and it was all a dream, just to say it did actually happen. God did appear to him. It wasn't, okay, it wasn't one of these stories or these films where it's kind of like, oh, and it was all a dream. It actually happened. God appeared to him. God asked him, what do you want? Solomon responded, I want wisdom, but he was responding out of wisdom. Because I don't know about you, but if God appeared to me in a dream and says, Shane, what do you want? You know, I'm not sure that my response would be, I really want to be wise. Now, I'd like to think it would be. I'd really like to think it would be, but I'm not sure it would be. Well, I don't know, like a new 50-inch telly or something, you know. If we're truthfully honest, if we're kind of in that place, you think, man, Solomon showed some real maturity and some real wisdom in his response to God before God had even granted him godly wisdom. He'd already responded in a wise way. And he received something of God, and not only did he receive what he asked for, he actually received all those other things anyway. And you can just imagine God saying, yeah, you're a wise man. You're a good man. I'm going to give you what you request, but because I can see this is who you are, I'm also going to give you this as well. I'm going to give you the riches and the fame, and you're going to live forever. We've got a theme going on here this morning. And I'll say at the end, and it says, and this is what I like about Solomon and his wisdom, because it's the last bit, then he invited his officials to a great banquet. So he was showing wisdom already, because he knew to celebrate over food, didn't he? It's kind of like, you know, this is great. God's appeared to me in a dream. Momentum's building. David's left me a great kingdom. God's done a lot for me. He's appeared to me in a dream. He's granted me wisdom. He's also going to make me famous, rich. He's going to defeat my enemies. Let's eat.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like I get Solomon in that. There's nothing better than kind of like saying, right, victory, let's eat. You know, it's kind of like, you know, let's get the barbecue on, let's get to Nando's, let's go and eat. You know, it's kind of like, there's something that is, for me, that showed wisdom. For some people, it might be totally like irrelevant, but to me, it's like, man, he's operating in wisdom. He knows that you celebrate over food. And, you know, it says banquet, so probably had a glass of wine as well. So he asked for wisdom. And he was operating in wisdom to start with, but he asked God for it, and God was able to grant him wisdom. and he asked for it above all else. So God granted him what he desired. He granted him the ability to govern. He granted him the ability to do what he needed to do in his kingship. And that came through in his life, because as you read through the story of Solomon, you start to read about kings came from all over to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. People used to come to visit just to see, is Solomon really as wise as they say he is? He was an amazing politician and a diplomat. When you start to look through his story and you see how he negotiates all these like peace and things, we'll look a little bit at that next week, because it's not all necessarily good. It's political, actually. The word, the key is in the word. But it was, he had the skills and the ability to do this because God had granted him the wisdom to do it. So he was able to build that momentum in his life and build that momentum because he'd asked for wisdom and God had given him that wisdom. Next thing, 1 Kings 5 and verse 6. And it says, therefore, please command the cedars from Lebanon to be cut for me. Let my men work alongside yours, and I will pay your men whatever wages you ask. As you know, there is no one among us who can cut timber like you Sidians. And there's something about that which again speaks to me, because Solomon's not just saying, I've got all this wealth, bang, there you go, cut these trees down for me and I'll see you when they get there. There's something that shows about him being a key, wise, strategic leader. He wants his men to go and work with the other men. So that, and I'm not sure he's just sending them for the sake of it. I reckon he was such a wise leader, he could see, we're not actually the best at this. You guys are. You're actually better at doing this than we are. So let my men come and work with your men, and they can learn from the best. Everybody wants to learn from the best. Everybody wants to get alongside the best coaches, the best people, regardless of where you are in life, when you're working, whatever you're doing, you want to get alongside and learn from the best. And there's something about being a learner that enables the momentum to build. To be able to go to somebody and you can see it and you can look and say, look, you are better than I am at this. You are way further down the line on this than I am. Please, will you help me get better at what I'm doing? And we are, realistically speaking, every single one of us has got somebody who's better than us at something. Yeah. Now, does that mean that we waste time trying to get better at the things that we're not competent at? Not necessarily. You know, you want to invest the time into what you are actually good at, strengthen what you're good at, get even better at what your gifting and skills are, but there's still nothing wrong with wanting to get better at other things. You know, I can kind of know, and I'd love to be able to play guitar, and I've tried a few times. You know, it was quite funny actually, somebody reminded me the other day, I'd totally forgotten, this was somebody back up at home, that I sent my guitar to Africa, and I was like, oh yeah, I totally forgot about that. I think Pastor Robert's got my acoustic guitar now. But I had a guitar, I think I've got about 3 guitars, and I give it a try, and I really wanted to learn. I so wanted to be Steve Vai or Richie Sambora or kind of these like famous guitarists, but it was kind of like, this is just not me. I can't do this. I got like so far, I was like, I'm just investing a load of time into something that I'm just not. I even went to the best. I went to Lee Eveson to have a lesson, and you know, I tried to learn from the best, but you know, it was kind of like, it's just not, I'm just not getting this. It's just kind of, yeah. So eventually it got to the point, I was like, I'm actually wasting my time trying to make myself good at something I'm never going to be good at. I'm just going to concentrate on what I am good at. But when we want to learn, and we're open to learning, it causes us to become a people that can build momentum in our lives, because we don't think we've got it all together. We don't think, I'm the best. I can't learn from anybody now. You have got nothing to teach me because I am the best. You should be coming to me to learn. So you've got the guy here who's just been deemed by God. There's no one who's ever lived, and no one will ever live, who's wiser than you are. And he's still humble enough to say, you guys are better at cutting trees than we are. I'll pay you wages, you cut our trees, but can my guys come and work with your guys as well? Because they need to learn how to be able to cut trees like you do. It doesn't actually say that. I'm kind of reading between the lines here, but revelation comes on these things, and you can see something of Solomon start to build in a way that says, he's a wise man. Yeah. He wants to learn from the best. He wants his men to learn to chop trees from the best. So he was a learner. And his curiosity to learn was deep. And we'll see next week how, in some ways, that was one of his shortfalls as well. His curiosity and his hunger to want to learn pushed him away from the things of God. But that's kind of next week. That's one thing I said to Sam this morning. I said, my biggest challenge this morning is going to be not jumping into next week's preach today. So we're staying here. So he was a learner. And so momentum was built in his life because he was willing to learn. He was willing to see what other people could do and learn from them. And also, because of that, he was able to be a great teacher as well. And the two kind of go together. You've got to be a great learner before you can be a great teacher. Otherwise, you can't learn anything to teach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next. 2 Chronicles 9. Chronicles 9:22-24, kind of rounding things up a little bit here. So King Solomon became richer and wiser than any other king on earth. Kings from every nation came to consult him and hear the wisdom God had given him. Year after year, everyone who visited brought him gifts of silver and gold, clothing, weapons, spices, horses and mules. Now, that's kind of summing things up, really, for he became richer and wiser than any other king on earth, and all the other kings came to listen. He became successful to a point where his momentum was running so fast that God was like, pouring this stuff into Solomon's life, and we see that stuff. You know, he built the temple, he built a palace, he built political buildings, he built roads, he established peace on his borders, and he did all these amazing things by being someone who operated in wisdom the majority of the time. Now, what we'll start to look at next week is opening up and seeing how, although Solomon was wise and is credited as being wise, he also made some really foolish decisions as well. And he also made some decisions which were disastrous, not so much for himself, but more for the person that was coming next. And we'll look at that. But so it's kind of like you sometimes see a lot of people kind of say, you know, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, but he was also the most foolish. So also the two contrasted each other a little bit. But Solomon was a wise man who was able to build that momentum because of all of those things. I'm just going to recap on them now before we bring this to a close. He had a great platform to build on. David had set a great platform, and I love that, and I always have the word of Bill Johnson from Bethel Church kind of always saying how he wants his ceiling to be the next generation's floor, that he wants where, you know, his highest point is where the next generation then start to build. And I love that, and that's something that him and Banning Leapshire, who's now planted Jesus Culture Church, have got as a real heart connection to say, you know, yeah, Bill Johnson wants this for us because he wants us to, you know, he doesn't want us to start from where he was, he wants us to start from where he's finished. And that was David. David's was the same heart. David's heart was, Solomon, I want you to take what I've built and now build onto it. And, you know, why would Solomon want to go back and have to fight all the battles again and do all the stuff that David had to do again? It was like, cool, David's kind of had to do all this. I get the fun part now. I get to build the temple. I get to build a nice palace. I get to marry 700 wives. That's going into the unwise bit, so that's next week. Not as sexist in any way, but there's biblical grounds as to why that was wrong, and we'll see. You know, God has, yeah, I'm going to go into next week. He asked for wisdom above all else. He desired wisdom from God, and you know, when we desire wisdom from God, when we ask for wisdom from God, God's able to work in us in such a way that the impossible becomes possible. We can't imagine what God's able to do with a heart that's submitted to him in such a way that we say, God, please give me the wisdom to do what you want me to do. And as much as I joke about like saying, if God came to me in a dream and asked me, what do you want? You know, it depends when you catch me, really. Quite possibly at this moment in time, and for the past 3.5 months since taking the church on, I've generally been, God, give me wisdom and allow to do what I'm meant to do. You know, like, you know, give me understanding. You know, these amazing people at Elohim Christian Church, they are blessed people. How am I supposed to govern them? God, give me wisdom. You know, I mean, that prayer is a good prayer to have, because that's saying to God, God, I, you know, I can't do any of this. I need your wisdom and your understanding to be able to do this. I need you to pour into me so I can do what you exactly what you want me to do, because I don't want to do anything else. Next, he was a learner, and he knew that he wasn't the best at everything. He knew his people weren't the best at everything. They were blessed of God, but there were still things that they weren't the most skilled at. So he wanted to learn from those skilled people. He became successful, and everybody else came to see him. And so he built up such a momentum that he was able to be a centre point in that kingdom. The kingdom was a centre point in the Middle East, but he was a centre point within that kingdom as well, that was able to point towards God. And people would look and say, look at the wisdom of Solomon. Look what God's done for him. And that momentum was built in such a way that you would have liked to have seen that momentum continue into the next stage of our series, which will be Rehoboam next week. But as we'll see next week, sadly it didn't. And sadly that didn't continue. And a few decisions that Solomon made kind of messed things up a little bit, despite being the wisest man that ever lived. But we'll get to that. But for today, we want to focus on the wisdom. And there's something of Solomon's heart to want to be wise and to be able to do what God says and to be able to do it how God said to do it, that caused him to build amazing momentum. And so this morning, we're going to pray, and I'm not going to lay hands on anybody. Nobody can lay hands on you for you to receive wisdom from God. That's got to be between you and God. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to pray, and as the worship team are just playing, this is really between you and God, because you know what it is that you need wisdom for. You know what it is that you need God to release into your life. You know what it is where you're at the moment. You're thinking, momentum's slowing down. I'm flying at the moment. Momentum on that locomotive train. I've got no momentum at all. I'm completely stationary. I need some wisdom of God to know, one, how do I get going? Two, how do I increase it? Or three, how do I maintain it? And they're the things, and wisdom of God can be released for that, because it's all about the decisions that we make. We've noticed throughout this whole series, right from the very beginning, it was all about the decisions the kings were making that decided where the momentum was going to go, where the life that they were living was going to go. The word about Saul was a major one. You know, his decisions were just ridiculous sometimes, and it caused that momentum to just never get going. And then David's decisions to constantly become before God caused that to be building in all the time. And Solomon, we kind of see, he asked for that wisdom. What a great decision. And it caused him to be able to make good decisions and bad ones. But we want to today, we want to get before God, and I'm going to pray. And then as we worship, it's a time for you to come before God yourself and say, God, I need your wisdom. And if you kind of sat there saying, well, I don't, because I've got it all, then I will lay hands and pray for you, because you clearly operate in a spirit of deception. We all need something more of God. We haven't attained it all yet. We haven't received from God everything that God's got for us. It's been planted into us. When we were gifted with the Holy Spirit, God gave us everything. But there's still unlocked potential there. We've not accessed the full power of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. We've not accessed the full power of God's wisdom by the Spirit that's already there. So just get this straight. You're not trying to get anything from God. You've received everything from God already. You have got everything that God wants for you. When you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will receive the fullness of the kingdom of heaven. Yes. And the wisdom's included in it. What you're praying for today is for God to unlock the potential that's still locked up inside of you, and particularly in the area of wisdom. You'll say, God, this area of wisdom that I'm still not operating in, unlock it this morning. Let me operate in wisdom in such a way that I never step out of line, that I never step off course. I never go into running around into the things that you never intended me to do, that my decisions are so wise and so led by the Holy Spirit that I'm able to say, God, I praise you for your wisdom, because you've led me onto an amazing path. Let's all stand. Yeah.